morning.
Good morning.
Some of you know me. Some of you probably have seen me around a little bit coming here. But for most of you, I got involved with most of you about 11 years ago. And we were trying to keep parishes open. And reflecting on this scripture this weekend, you know, we hear a lot of things about heaven and hell, right or wrong. Which side are we on? Are we always on the right side, or are we sometimes drifting to the wrong side? In my life, and I can speak for me because I know me, for me sometimes I feel I'm doing the right thing, and sometimes I know I'm drifting to the wrong way, not doing everything I'm asked to do. In the second reading, it says that we're supposed to, you know, work through this life. We're supposed to struggle. We're supposed to search. We're supposed to reach for better things, you know, to try to work for something. Not just sit back and expect people to give us stuff, to fulfill our dreams through them. We're asked to be a part of that struggle. And then we come to this gospel reading. It's kind of rough. You know, what's coming? What's going to happen? What's in our future? You know, for many of us, we worry about, you know, when is the Lord coming back? Or am I going to be ready when the day of the Lord comes? Am I going to be ready next week, next year, 10 years from now, whenever it happens? What about today? If we leave here today and we're driving down the road and a deer runs out in front of us, we wreck and one of us is killed or injured, are we ready for that? Are we ready to meet the Lord today? I would like to share a little story. Well, it's not a story, it's a true account. I met a gentleman about 2 years ago. And this man has died not once, but twice. The first time he died, as the story goes, he was living a pretty good life. He was making a lot of money. He was doing a lot of running around. And he was living what he thought was a good life. Now, he still believed in God, but God kind of was, when I had time, I took a little bit of time to recognize God. The rest of the time, it was about me, he said. And he had a massive heart attack and died. He was dead for almost 9 hours until they got his heart beating again. And during that time, he talks about how he went to heaven. He doesn't actually call it heaven. He says he's very strict on telling the truth, exactly what happened. And he says, nobody told me it was heaven, but he says, I went to the light. And he says, it was Jesus. And it was the Father and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it was really all by accident how I even met this gentleman. And that's a whole long story. We wouldn't get out of here till next week if I told the whole story. But he talked about how he went to heaven. And Jesus took him in his arms and was consoling him and talking to him. And during that process, Jesus asked him, he says, would you come back to earth, and I have 40 things I want you to achieve? And he instantly said, yes, I will. And he says, he remembers coming back to life. He remembers waking up in the hospital. And, you know, he's there for a few more days. He gets out. He goes to his mom and dad's house to recuperate. And he begins to think, that couldn't have been true, could it? I couldn't have went to heaven. It had to be a dream. So one morning he gets up and he's out in the living room walking around and, you know, just trying to get his mobility back a little bit. And his father comes walking in. And his father turns around, runs out into the kitchen quick and gets a glass of orange juice, puts some sugar in, runs back in. He says, here, drink this. He says, you look like you're ready to pass out. And before he can even touch it, he passes out. And he hears these words. He says, would you help me save a soul? And he instantly said, yes. He said, if I can remove one scourge of the whip, one poke of the thorn, or one pain of the nail in your hand, I will do it. And with that, he dies again. Goes back to heaven. And the first word out of Jesus' mouth was, no, you didn't remove one scourge of the whip, one poke of the thorn, or one pain of the nail. But you have saved a soul. And he thought, okay, well, that's kind of strange. And the next thing Jesus said, he says, do you remember the 40 things you promised to do for me? And he said, Jesus didn't ask or tell him to do it. He asked him. And he says, I simply said, yes, I do remember those 40 things. So with that, he comes back and he wakes up in the hospital bed. So he's in the hospital, had another massive heart attack. He wakes up in the hospital and he's laying in bed and there for a day or two, and the last day he's getting ready to be released, and this surgeon comes walking in. And he's talking to him, telling him, you know, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You got to change your diet. You got to do all this stuff to try to stay alive here. And the nurse walks out of the room, and it's just him and the surgeon in there, and the surgeon turns around and looks at him, and he goes, thank you. He goes, why are you thanking me? He says, you saved my life. He says, why? Well, I should be thanking you. He says, no. He says, you saved my soul. He says, how did I save your soul? And how do you even know that story? He says, you don't remember? He goes, I know what I remember of Jesus asking me to help save a soul. That's all I remember. He says, I was sitting at home. My wife had left me. My finances were in turmoil. And he says, I was sitting there with a 357 ready to end my life. And he said, my phone rang. And the hospital called me and wanted to know if I could come in and operate on you to try to save you. And he says, I decided I will go try to save this man. And then when I'm done, I'll come home and finish the job here. And he says, I went to the hospital, walked in the room, and you sat up in your bed and told me that story of God asking you to save a soul. And as soon as you were done, you laid down on the table and flatlined. He said, you can't explain it. He says, I can't explain it. But he says, I know heaven exists. He says, I know hell exists. And he says, I know I have to change my life. For many of us, and for me especially, you know, sometimes my life gets so busy, I kind of put God on the shelf. I think, all right, when I get caught up, when I get enough time, I'll pull God out from that shelf and I'll revisit my life. I think it's important that we never put God on the shelf. God has to be the main focus in our life every day. It doesn't matter what's going to happen a week from now, 2 weeks from now, from 10 years from now. What matters is what's happening right now. Are we living our life the way God wants us to live our life today? Are we doing what God wants us to be doing today? This happened 21, 22 years ago to this gentleman. For the last 20-some years, he's changed his life completely. He's still a single man. He took a vow of celibacy. He has completed all 40 things that God has asked him to do. And we've become very good friends. We talk, well, every month or so we talk. We go out and see him a couple times a year. Right after I met him, he came down with colon cancer, liver cancer, and kidney cancer. Now, almost everybody knows when you get that, you don't live. Very rarely do you live. It's a long story. I don't have time to go through it all today. He just had a test run last week. He has no signs of cancer whatsoever. But his day is led by daily prayer. He wakes up every morning about 3 o'clock in the morning and prays for 2 hours. Every day for the last 22 years. He reaches out to anybody that he can to try to help. He truly is living the message that God has asked us to live. I'm no different than any of you. Every one of you guys can get up here and give a talk about how God has touched your life. Whether that's when you see your first child born, whether it's just the blessings of the people around you, whether it's just seeing the sun come up in the morning. When you take that first breath in the morning when you wake up, those are all gifts from God. Do we recognize that in our lives? Do we realize how much God loves us? How much He cares about us? How much He wants to be a part of our daily walk? You know, 11 years ago, when I met some of you people, it was a very hard time. But you know, through that whole struggle, what I remember the most out of that whole struggle were the great people I met. I have met people from this area, from Kentucky to Florida, California, and I've met people right in my own neighborhood that I never would have met otherwise. My prayer today is that yes, we look at the Gospels, we read the Gospels, we discern them, but that we recognize that God is with us right now. That God loves us so much that we will never understand that until the day we are in His arms. God is always there. God will always help you through whatever it is. In the good times, the bad times, and even in the mediocre times. He wants to be a part of that. And if we take the time and open our hearts to Him, we will see the fruits that He will share with us. And before somebody starts tapping their watch, I'm going to sit down. But I want you really to just take time today and focus on how God is living in your life. And I ask that God bless each and every one of you and walk with each and every one of you today.